Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The entire universe, which is full of living entities, is like a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta, Krishna. Therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord says, Aham sarvasya brabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva pachantimam buddhabhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. People are very much anxious to give service to other living entities, especially to the poor. But although they have manufactured many ways to give such help, actually they are expert in killing the poor living entities. This sort of service or mercy is not recommended in the Vedic wisdom. As stated in a previous verse, it has been decided, niruktam, by expert saintly persons, that Krishna is the root of everything and that worshipping Krishna is worshipping everyone, just as supplying water to the root of a tree means satisfying all of its branches and twigs. Another point is that this universe is full of living entities from top to bottom. Or, on every planet, jiva rashi birakirna. Modern scientists and so-called scholars think that there are no living entities on planets other than this one. Recently, they have said that they have gone to the moon but didn't find any living entities there. But Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literatures do not agree with this foolish conception. There are living entities everywhere, not only one or two, but jiva rashi bhi, many millions of living entities. Even on the sun there are living entities, although it is a fiery planet. The chief living entity on the sun is called Vivasvan. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Ahamavyayam. All the different planets are filled with different types of living entities according to different living conditions, which is to suggest that only this planet is filled with living entities and that others are vacant is foolish. This betrays a lack of real knowledge. Jiva Rashipira Akirna Anda Koshan Gripomahan Tanmulatva Tachyute Jya Sarva Jivatma Tarpanam. The entire universe, which is full of living entities, is like a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta, Krishna. Therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. Many people are trying to do something which is good for the whole world. And Bhagavatam explains how to do that. What is that topmost charitable activity, which, and that is serving Krishna and worshipping Krishna. And it is actually explained that any activity which is not meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord, will never bear any good fruit. This has been explained in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Svanushtita Pumsa, Vishvaksena Katasuya, Not Padayati Adiratim, Shama Evahi Kevalam. Any activity which is not meant to please the Lord is just a useless waste of time, fruitless labor. Shama evahi kevalam, it is explained. And nevertheless, sentimentally, many people trying to do superficial good to others, and then they have to regret that later. Actually, There is a very interesting episode described in the Journey Home book by Srila Radhanath Maharaj, his autobiography. And so he narrates that episode from his youth when he was sympathizing with the black people who were fighting for their right to be equal with white people. And so he was invited to take part in a march of protest against abuse towards black people in America. And he did that, and actually he was the only white person in the whole march. And because he was invited by one of the organizers, one lady, he was marching in the very front of the procession. And so many white people saw him, and they were ridiculing him, and they were saying so many unpleasant things and even throwing something at him. But he was thinking, anyway, you know, I'm doing the right thing, which definitely the sentiment is very good, that discrimination is a very bad thing, because discriminating people on just on the basis of the color of the body is completely materialistic idea. And so he was thinking, I'm doing the right thing, and whether these people are ridiculing or threatening me, it doesn't matter. And then the march ended in one of the parks, and then the first speaker on the occasion was that lady who invited him. She was one of the leaders, and she said that we should not try to do the injustice against the injustice we're experiencing. So if white people are mistreating us, we should not mistreat them, because in this way we'll only increase violence and we'll never achieve any good result. And we know that Mahatma Gandhi was following the same tactics, and actually he was saying that eye for an eye will only make the whole world blind, which is certainly true. And so many people appreciated her statements and her speech. But then the next speaker was a man who was another leader, and he completely criticized everything that lady said. He said, it's all sentimental, it will just sentimentally tolerate all the abuse we're experiencing, it will never end, we have to fight for our right, we have to show our strength, we have to be violent, we should never tolerate, because, and we should never trust white people, no matter how nice they, you know, showing themselves to be, they are always filled with pride. And then he pointed at future Radhanath Maharaj and he said, look at this man. He was marching with us, but he was, you know, he is so proud that he was marching in front of all of us. And we were kind of made follow him. So, and he said, this is the mentality of these white people. And so he turned the whole thing upside down, and he was actually accusing, you know, because future Radhanath Maharaj was the only white person in the whole audience. He made him a showcase, and he was attacking him. He was saying that, look at these white people, etc., etc. And so many people were supporting him, and the situation was becoming very dangerous. And that lady who invited Maharaj, she said, it's getting dangerous, so you should better leave the place immediately. And so he had to leave. And of course, it was very painful for him that his good intentions were turned upside down, and he was trying to do good. He was trying to support good cause, but it ended up in a completely other way. And so it can serve, and certainly it was a very deep lesson in his life that, you know, material beneficial work, you know, is pretty much useless. Because, why? Because we may help people one way or the other, but unless their consciousness changes, unless they understand at least very simple point that they are not the body, because all the troubles are because people identifying themselves with the body. All the racial issues, they're based on the bodily concept, because people are proud of their body. You know, some people are proud because their body is white, other people are proud because their body is black, other people are proud because their body is yellow or brown. But doesn't matter which color the body is, the body remains the body. And what is the body, we know very well. It's just a bag filled with unspeakable substances. And so whether that bag filled with whatever it's filled with is of a black, white, yellow, brown or green color, does it make any difference? The content of the bag remains the same. And so to be proud of the material body is a pure ignorance. And because of that ignorance, there are so many problems in the world, and nobody understands that. Even so-called religious people, they are very proud with their affiliation, but this affiliation only refers to the body. It has nothing to do with them as spiritual beings. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that only Krishna consciousness can really solve all the problems. And we can see that actually it does that. It is doing the job that... And by the way, we're not saying that charitable or welfare activities are not good. The example which was given is that watering the leaves and branches of a tree instead of watering the root of a tree. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and of course another example is, you know, trying to feed parts of the body instead of feeding the stomach. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave a funny story in that regard. And from what I remember, this story is called Foolish Gardener and an Idiot Landlord, something like that. And so the story goes that the landlord hired a gardener, and the gardener was very dutiful but was not very intelligent. And so he was thinking, oh, instead of watering the root of a plant, let me water every single branch and leaf like that. And he kept watering, and he was spending so much time on each plant, and water was never reaching the root. And then the landlord saw that, and he said, what kind of fool you are? Why don't you pour the water to the root of the plant? But then landlord himself went onto his house, and he was about to take lunch, and you know, he had his food in front of him, and he was thinking, you know, I'm a big man. Why should I take food in the same way as ordinary people take? You know, instead of just putting my food in the mouth, I should nourish every single part of my body. And so he started taking, you know, whatever, say, khichdi, and just putting it into his ears, and, you know, salad, putting into his nose, and, you know, spreading dal over his eyes, etc. So, he was no better than his own gardener. And, well, this story is meant to illustrate, you know, that point that which is exemplified in Bhagavatam, but I was thinking that it's also teaching a few other lessons that you know, the kind of people we attract are, you know, very good match to our consciousness. They are matching with our consciousness. So the similarities attract. And also, another point is that whatever faults we see in other people are actually a reflection of our own faults. But anyway, we understand that it's very foolish, and the root has to be watered, and the stomach has to be fed. But nevertheless, we do not say that it's completely wrong. Even when we take care of a plant, say tulsi, like the other day, Murali Gopal Prabhu was spraying the tulsi with water mixed with some organic oil to prevent some insects from, you know, destroying the plant. So he was actually doing that. He was watering leaves and branches. And so it also has its purpose, watering leaves and branches, you know, because it keeps branches clean and prevents plant from being harmed. And sometimes we also apply food ingredients on our body. For example, doing massage, we're taking oil, sesame oil, for example, which is, you know, also used for consumption, and we apply it over externally on our body. So to some extent, that also has its value. Some external beneficial work, but it actually gives benefit only if it is done in the context of Krishna consciousness. For example, we're also doing some work which can be seen as welfare work, like distributing free food to the needy people. But what is the difference? That this free food is not just any food, it's prasadam. And therefore, not only it benefits people materially, it also benefits people spiritually. And it's actually seen, even in London, I know cases when those people who are taking prasadam for a prolonged period of time, those homeless people and very degraded people with many bad habits, they would change. They would give up their bad habits. They would become normal members of society. So their consciousness evolved just because of taking prasadam and associating with devotees. And there are so many cases like that. So it shows that these two things have to go hand in hand. Beneficial work for the human society and helping people to develop Krishna consciousness. This, when these two things come together, then there is an effect. As Srila Prabhupada was explaining, that religion without science is fanaticism, and science without religion is mental speculation. So, or the other analogy is blind and lame. They have to come together. So all the material advantages the modern society has can give permanent benefit if they are combined with Krishna consciousness. And so, in the same way as in the material world, soul cannot exist without the body, and body cannot exist without the soul either. So these two have to be combined. So in the same way, all the material discoveries and advantages can actually give permanent benefit to the human society if they are applied together with Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important message which we learn from Prabhupada books and Prabhupada's teachings. Why? Because the Supreme Lord is the root cause of everything. This is what this verse is explaining. It is explained here that He is the root of the universal tree. Sometimes we feel that we as devotees are in minority, we are a minority group. And certainly it is true in regards to this planet. But this is not the only planet in the universe. So the higher we go, you know, the percentage of population of Hare Krishnas will increase the higher you go in the universe. And so, you know, if you reach, for example, heavenly planets, you will find that the major demigods, they are all Hare Krishnas. Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Chandra, Surya, Soma, they're all Hare Krishnas. They're worshipping the Supreme Lord. So what to speak of even higher planets, planets of the sages. And if you go even higher to the spiritual world, then the Hare Krishna population is 100%. So, but the lower you go, the Hare Krishna population naturally decreases on a universal scale. And it's interesting also to observe that the living conditions there, you know, the more Krishna consciousness is there, the better the living conditions are. You know, it's like, say, heavenly planets. There are more devotees, more worship of the Supreme Lord, so better living conditions. And of course, hellish planets that devotees are practically absent there and there is no worship and life is hellish. And of course, spiritual world where everyone is 100% Krishna conscious, they are all living eternally and happily with Krishna. So these things are also interlinked. And, you know, we may doubt sometimes in the state, we may have doubts in the statements of scriptures, but there are also so many evidences that life exists on the other planets. There are so many cases of, you know, residents of other planets, recorded cases visiting our planet, that one devotee even wrote a book, Alien Identities. And I actually heard one case, one devotee had an encounter with UFO when he was staying in one of the houses of his friends at the countryside, and he was staying overnight, and at night he was woken up by some kind of very unusual luminescent light coming through the window. So he came to the window and he saw some kind of strange, you know, vehicle, which he said it was different from flying saucer, but it was UFO. And so anyway, he was driven out. He was compelled to come and see it closer, and then he came across the aliens. And so he had a little chat with them. They were very friendly, and they said, we visited the Earth to help it in its advancement. And then they actually invited him to go inside the UFO. And one thing devotee saw there, which was shocking for him, was Srila Prabhupada's Murti. And this devotee was so shocked that he said, do you actually know who is this? And all the aliens, they started laughing like anything. And they said, we know who is Srila Prabhupada. You don't know who is he. That was an interesting episode. And so, yeah, we can understand that it is true. That, you know, it will take quite a while before, I mean, we may understand Prabhupada superficially, but, you know, it may take quite a while before we can understand who Srila Prabhupada really is and what he has done for the entire planet. And Srila Prabhupada made a statement that one day the historians will write in their books that this movement saved the whole world in its darkest hour. And so we can understand that this perception that anything is separated from the Supreme Lord, as it is explained in one of the Chatur Shloki of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna says that anything which is seen as not related to me is an illusion or Maya. And so, because everything is connected to Krishna. And therefore, only the activity which would please the Supreme Lord would actually give us full satisfaction. That is also a statement in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter of the first canto. Savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje. Ahai tu kya pratyata yatma suprasidati. And so this verse is explaining that the topmost occupational activity for anyone, for everyone, is that which helps us to develop bhakti, helps us to develop our divine love towards the Supreme Lord. And in order to completely satisfy the self, in order to actually make us happy, this activity has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted. And the previous verse is also very interesting because it explains. Actually, Sutta Goswami is expressing his gratitude towards the sages of Naimisharanya, and he says, Munayo sadu prishtaham bhavadbir loka mangalam yat krita krishna samprasno yatma suprasidati. That he says, O great sages, you did very well, sadhu. Sadhu in Sanskrit means very good. So sadhu is a very good man. We can understand. So he says, O great sages, you are all sadhus. You done very well. Because you posed right questions, prishtaham, which will benefit the entire world, bhavadbir lokamangalam. Why? Yat krita krishna samprasna, because they are connected to Krishna. And only these kind of discussions about Krishna are capable of completely satisfying the self. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So therefore, I was thinking that it's kind of funny that, you know, we have a setup for our classes that we leave very few minutes for any discussions on the subject. And in fact, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam as well as Bhagavad Gita is nothing but discussions. And so maybe we should request devotees to share some of their wisdom on the subject, or if there are any questions, you may also ask.